Hare Krishna. It is such a beautiful sight to behold this multitude of effulgent Vaishnavas decorating the steps of the ghat of Krishna Kund in Gavarvan of Barasana. In my humble and insignificant opinion, this is one of the most beautiful places on earth. Gavarvan is one of the very important forests of Vrindavan. It is situated between two villages, Barasana and Chikshali. Barasana is the home of Srimati Radharani, and Chikshali is the village of Chitrasakhi. Just like a lotus flower has a whorl and eight petals, or sometimes more petals, similarly Barasana is like the whorl of the lotus that is the abode of Srimati Radharani. And around Barasana are the villages of all of her eight sakis. So where we are now at Krishna Kund is called Chitra or Chikshali, where Chitrasakhi resides. The forest of Gavarvan is one of the most beautiful and well-preserved areas in all of Brajbhumi. Could all of you enjoy this walk through the forest? I hope it wasn't too hot for you. Originally, it was our hope that we could take prasad here. But when we tried to make arrangements, the local Brijavasi said, impossible. Because there are 700 devotees, but if we served prasad, there would be at least twice as many monkeys. And as you can see, these monkeys are quite fearless. Especially when there's prasad. I remember in 1971 when I first came to Vrindavan, I was in a little house of a Brijavasi eating a roti. I hadn't eaten in days, and some Brijavasi said, please come, let me give you prasad. So I was eating a roti, and it was a little courtyard, and from above me, monkey jumped down and stole all my rotis and climbed a tree. I was twice as big as the monkey, but there was nothing I could do about it. So, for prasad, we have to go all the way back where we came from and a little beyond to Piri Pokhar. That was the only place that prasad could be arranged. So, we may be wondering, why did we come all this way and then back? Because after prasad, we're coming back here again. The reason is because by the time we come back, it may not be very light. And I was really hoping that all of you could see this beautiful Gavarvan forest and Krishna Kund in the daylight, because it is really an experience of a lifetime. Gavarvan is a place where there was many beautiful, pleasurable caves that Srimati Radharani and Krishna would perform their pastimes in. The local Brijavasis, they say that Gavarvan means the forest of dancing, because it is the place where Radha and her gopis and Krishna and her gopas would dance in very great happiness. In fact, on the top of this hill is Man Mandir, where one very beloved friend and great Vaishnav, Radha Sharan Babaji Maharaj, resides. He's always very loving and kind to our devotees. He has protected this forest because money-thinking people actually came and started cutting down. Their plan was to cut every tree down from that path that we just took. But he, through with his associates and his disciples, they said, no, you cannot do this. And there were life threats because wood means money. And these are not rich people. But they were all willing to die to protect this forest, to preserve it. And ultimately, it took some years, with the help of some of our devotees in Bombay, they got a government injunction that no one can touch the trees. Sri Brajbhumi Dham Ki! So, to be in this beautiful forest, which is so rare and well preserved in Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani arranged it so devotees had to fight and risk their life so that it could be there for us to come and appreciate. The place we are on, the local devotees call it Radha Srovar. It is also called Krishna Kund. It is a very ancient and sacred place that Srimati Radharani would regularly bathe. And Lord Krishna and Sri Radharani would have water sports here in this kund. And every morning during Brahma Muhurta, dozens upon dozens of the local Brijavasis take their baths and offer their oblutions here to Sri Radharani and Krishna. Just above on the steps is Morkuti. I'd like to briefly tell that story. It is a place where Srimati Radharani and Krishna perform their pastime of dancing like peacocks. And they did it many times for different reasons. One reason we will explain, that one time Krishna was praising the beauty of Srimati Radharani. He said, your face is as beautiful and lustrous as the full moon. So she became very angry, that why you are comparing me to moon? If my face is as lustrous like the moon, the moon is always waxing and waning. On only one day of a month is it full. Plus the moon has so many spots on it. Does my face have so many spots? So she decided she would not talk to Krishna. Of course, this Mam Leela is actually her way of increasing Krishna's pleasure. So she was at Man Mandir, where we will be going this evening with Sri Radharani's grace, and she would not speak to Krishna. Krishna was trying every possible way to get her to even look at him, but she would not look at him. He would go on one side and she would look the other. He would go on another side and she would look another. So there were so many wonderful, wonderful pastimes of how Krishna appeased Srimati Radharani's mind. I will narrate one such pastime. You can see from Man Mandir across the ridge is this hill. Krishna took the form of a peacock. And Radharani saw that this is Krishna in the form of a peacock. He danced. How beautifully he danced. No peacock could dance the way Krishna dances when he's a peacock. He was dancing so gracefully, with such rhythm. And when Srimati Radharani saw this, she began to laugh. Her man, or anger, disappeared. And she was very eager to dance with Krishna. So she assumed the form of a peahen, a lady peacock. And she came on this mountain, and together Radha and Krishna danced and danced and danced in the form of peacocks. So there was a blind sage, a very, very humble and simple Vaishnava, who lived on this mountain and worshipped this pastime with his heart and soul. Although he could not see the light of the day, he very much wanted to see this pastime of Radha and Krishna dancing as peacocks. So he performed bhajan here for many years of his life. And one day, Srimati Radharani appeared to him. Hare Krishna. She appeared to him and told him that I will reveal this pastime to you if whatever you see, you make a painting. He said, but how can I paint? I don't even see. And I'm living in the middle of the forest. In those days, hundreds of years ago, there was no bazaars anywhere close by in Barasana. A very secluded forest. Where will I get paintbrush? Where will I get the paper to paint it on? Where will I learn how to paint? Sri Radharani told him that I will preserve what you have and carry what you lack. You just make the efforts. So what he did is he just started moving his fingers through the ground, and by her divine direction from within his heart, he made little paintbrushes, and he got herbs and ground them and made them into paints, and he got some bark of tree, certain type of tree, and made a type of canvas, and everything was ready. He was willing. There's a very important instruction to be learned, that by the grace of Krishna, nothing is impossible. We are full of so many disqualifications, but it is the eternal lila of the Lord to perform the most wonderful, wonderful things through his devotees. Srila Prabhupada went to America with 40 rupees that could not be exchanged, knowing no one. But by Krishna's grace, through Srila Prabhupada, manifested an entire international society with hundreds and hundreds of temples, farm communities, schools, tens and thousands of devotees, millions of books. That is Krishna's miracle. Shyam Sundar Prabhu, last year, during Srila Prabhupada's Disappearance Day festival, he spoke to us of the magic of Srila Prabhupada. How he took devotees and instilled within their hearts that nothing was impossible. They could, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he went to London. The most famous, influential people in the entire planet was a musical band called the Beatles. Who could see them? Hundreds and thousands, millions of people would pull for a piece of their hair when they were walking down the street. They wanted to see them. They wanted to meet them. What to speak of just an unknown devotee? But he became best friends and got them to donate a whole temple, Bhaktivedanta Manor, which is still the most important center in Europe. Got them to record an album, which was number one album in many parts of Europe, the Radha Krishna album. And actually got them to chant japa, Hare Krishna, and sing songs about Krishna. Impossible. But if we think something's impossible, it is impossible. But if we have faith in the causeless, unlimited, inconceivable mercy of the Lord, and really surrender to be an instrument of that mercy, then anything is possible. If we are pure and we are faithful. So this blind Vaishnava, he was, Radharani moved his hands to prepare everything because he was willing to surrender. And then he saw the Leela. He could not see anything of this world, but from within his heart, Srimati Radharani opened his spiritual vision. We're seeing the world, but spiritually we're blind. He was blind, but spiritually he could see. Which is better? Hare Krishna. He saw before his eyes Lord Sri Krishna, decorated as the most beautiful of all peacocks, and Srimati Radharani as his peahen consort, blissfully dancing and dancing and dancing together on this hill in the forest of Gaurakam. What he saw, he painted. And on the altar of that temple, to this very day, is that painting. For those of you who are willing to come back this evening, we will go for darshan. I lived in this place in 1971, and the local Brijabasis told me a very beautiful story that was told to them by their grandfathers. During the life of their grandfathers, there was a very, very great devotee that lived at Murkuti. He was always engrossed in chanting the holy names of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He was very simple, but very much full of compassion. In those days, this was a very wild forest, and there was a lion living in the forest. That lion would every day hear him chanting. He would be chanting all day and sometimes all night. The lion, just by hearing his chanting and seeing his pure behavior of humble service, that lion's heart melted. And he became gentle. He came before this devotee and bowed his head and surrendered his life. And this devotee preached to the lion and actually gave him nam. He taught him to chant the holy names. I personally cannot understand how he was chanting, but he had that faith. So as a disciple, that lion would every day go and beg for his guru. He was a brahmachari. Traditionally, it's the duty of the brahmacharis to beg for the spiritual master. So this lion brahmachari, he would go house to house in this area with a bag around his neck. And the bag around his neck, it was written in Sanskrit, Madhukari. Madhukari means begging, like a bee going from one flower to another flower. A bee takes a little from everyone. So similarly, he had this Madhukari bag around his neck, and he would go to each house. And at first, the Brijabasis were very much afraid. This lion is coming right to their door, and he would knock on the door. But then he would bow down to them. And he had this bag, so they would put some roti. And he would go house to house until he filled up his bag with rotis. He would never eat a single crumb of those rotis. Because until it was the remnants of his Guru Maharaj,
It was boga.
So he would bring those the rotis up to Morkuti, and his Guru Maharaj would eat some of it, honor that prasad, and then the only thing that lion would eat, he wouldn't be hunting rabbits, he would only eat the remnants of the rotis of his spiritual master. This is a true story. This is the power of the compassion of a Vaishnava. That even the harsh, meat-eating heart of a lion can become gentle and humble. That lion lived by the principle, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnana, Amani na manadena kirtaniya sadhari. And in due course of time, no one in the village was afraid of the lion. Because they understood that he was a recipient of the mercy of Radharani through her devotee. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Srila Prabhupada transformed many such lion-like people. And it was his request that we assist him in this mission of helping to transform the hearts of people to become gentle and humble Vaishnavas, always attached to chanting the holy names of Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. That happened here. You see this throne here? Not only would Radha Krishna sit here, but also one time Krishna and Gopas were stealing butter from the neighborhood Brijavasis of Barasana. And one gopi, what she did is she heard Krishna was in the room where the butter was being kept. So she locked the door from the outside so that he couldn't get out. Hare Krishna. So there was a window up leading out. So Krishna and all his friends climbed out the window. Madhu Mangal, you know, he's quite well known because he likes prasad very much, especially laddu. So he was kind of heavy, so he could not fit through the window. He was up and his head got through the window, and his shoulders got through the window, and part of his chest got through the window, but that's all that fit. So he was stuck. He couldn't go forward and he couldn't go backward. So then the gopis opened the door to catch them. And there was Madhu Mangal stuck in the window, kicking his feet. So she called the other gopis, and gopis captured him. And they took a vine made with flowers. And they tied his hands behind his back with a flower garland. And then, in one of these trees, they tied his sika to another flower garland. And they tied it over a branch, and they kept pulling it. And as it was pulling it, it was lifting him up. And he was crying out, Krishna, Krishna, save me! Kanaya, Kanaya! Because when a devotee is in difficulty, he has nowhere else to turn to except to helplessly cry out the holy names of God.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
So gopis were pulling his sika. But he didn't see them, they were pulling the string. He was going, Gopal, hey Gopal, hey Kanaya, hey Gopal. So Krishna always responds to the sincere and helpless chanting of his devotee. So Krishna came. Lord Shamsundar told gopis that this is a very, very bad aparadha you have made. Because he's not just an ordinary gopa like us. He's a Brahman. You have committed Brahman aparadha. From this aparadha, you will lose your cows, you will lose your youth, you will lose your beauty, you will lose everything. So they became very much worried. And they prayed, please tell us how we can atone for this Brahman aparadha. Krishna said, you should make a throne for Mata Mangal to sit on, and then you should get all the laddus in your house and feed it to him. And then he will bless you. So actually, gopis were not really afraid of Brahman aparadha. But this was what would please Krishna. So, on this little seat that you see behind us, Mata Mangal was sitting, and all the gopis of the neighborhood came and brought all the laddus within their house, hundreds, thousands of laddus. And he was eating each and every one of them, very happily. And as each gopi was bringing their laddus, he told them, I am Brahman, I will give you a benediction. What do you want? And what do you think every gopi wanted? The benediction that whatever they do will always be pleasing to Krishna. So at this place, we should also pray for that benediction. That all of our words, all of our actions, and all of our thoughts may forever be pleasing to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kuto. And how do we please Krishna? There's only one way. By pleasing his devotees. Mad bhakta puja vyadika. Shamsundar Prabhu, that was the verse. Do you remember in London? You asked me about that verse. Shamsundar Prabhu was with Srila Prabhupada when he opened the first center in San Francisco and London. He came on the first preaching program with Prabhupada in India. And His Holiness Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj especially invited Shamsundar Prabhu to write the scripts for the Abhay Charan series in the places where Shamsundar Prabhu was a personal eyewitness. So we met in London earlier this year, and he was inquiring, can you show me in the scriptures where is this verse? Because he remembers Prabhupada quoting it, that Krishna is more pleased with service to his devotees than he is pleased with service himself. You remember, Prabhu? Shamsundar Prabhu is always seeking the essence of Krishna consciousness. So this is the benediction that Madhu Mangal gave to all gopis. And let us pray for the same benediction. That in our life, birth after birth after birth, we could always please the Lord and his devotees. Thank you very much. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Dohani Kund, yes. Dohani Kund is the area where Nanda Maharaj, Vrishabhanu, where they would milk their cows each day. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. And this is the place the cows would be milked, Dohani Kund. We'll just be going there. This was a bathing place of Radha and Krishna. Biharkund is a place where sometimes Radha and Krishna would, or the gopis, they would play games of throwing the sacred mud of Vrindavan on each other. near Dohanikund and Viharkund is where also Krishna and his friends, after stealing butter from gopis, they would eat in the Kadamba tree cups. And there are unlimited pastimes, but I'm just a simple devotee. I don't know so much. But the most prominent is this, that it was the capital of the cow milking for all of Braja. So we will go to that place. In Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada explains this was their wealth. Their wealth was the milk, ghee, yogurt, butter, milk sweets. In Vedic culture, if you have many cows, you are a wealthy man. This paper money was not taken very seriously. Because that type of wealth that comes through paper money usually agitates the mind rather than satisfies it. But when the cows are satisfied, Srila Prabhupada explained, that is the barometer that the whole society is spiritually healthy. And not only spiritually healthy, but even on a material level, where the cows are being protected nicely and they are given nice milk, then there is great opulence. So this was the opulence of Braja. And with the milk products they had, they would exchange it for jewels and metals and other things. So Dohanikund is where Krishna, Balaram, Nanda Maharaj, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, Radharani, gopis, gopas, where they would collect the milk from the cows. So we will go there. Thank you very much. Hiri Pokar. Is one of the very great worshipable holy places of Bharatana. A charming pastime was enacted here by the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Srimati Radharani. With the permission of Vaishnavas, I will try to speak what I have heard. On Wednesday, we will be going to Nandagaon, which is the place of the eternal home of Lord Shri Krishna and Balaram. Just on the bottom of the Nandeshwar mountain, which is incarnation of Lord Shiva, there is a beautiful lake called Pavan Sarovar. Srimati Radharani, when she was with her friends, gopis, they were visited once by Durvas Muni. Durvas Muni is a very powerful mystic. We have read many stories about him in Srimad Bhagavatam. So gopis were so much afraid they ran away. But Radharani was not afraid. She received him with very gracious and loving hospitality. Durvas Muni was the guest, and Srimati Radharani served him in such a pleasing way that he gave her benediction. The benediction that whatever she cooked would taste sweeter than nectar. And anyone who ate her food would never fall sick, but would live very full, long, strong life. Now in Vrindavan, everyone's concern is simply for the welfare of Krishna. So when Mother Yashoda heard about this benediction, she requested that each day Srimati Radharani personally cook for Krishna. Although she was very small. So everyone agreed. So from Barasana, with her friends, the Sakis, she would go, it's about 8 kilometers, she would walk to Nandagaon, and there they would cook. Yasoda Mai, seeing the charming disposition of Srimati Radharani, and her effulgent golden beauty, her heart was ever increasingly melting in love and affection. So it was natural that she wanted Sri Radharani to be the bride of Gopal. Because Yasoda Mai wanted to always offer the best to Krishna, and what could possibly be more best than Srimati Radharani's personality. But they were very small children at the time. Still, this emotion was always growing in her heart. One day, it was a festival, as Sri Radharani was doing her cooking, Yasoda Mai just became so immersed in the intoxicating love that she had for this beautiful little girl that she couldn't contain herself. She started painting beautiful designs with turmeric on her hands. Now the tradition in Vrindavan is when the father and mother of a boy meet with father and mother of a girl, and the two parents officially agree for marriage to take place. At the time of that engagement, this turmeric-colored decorations are painted on the hands of the aspiring bride. So Radharani, she was very humble, very submissive, but she was very amazed. This was being placed upon her own hands. Then Yashoda Mai left, and Radharani was looking and thinking, what am I to do? My parents don't even know about this. So she was walking back to Barasana from Nandagram, and she was very much fearful. This will be a great controversy. I have this official statement on my hands, and my mother and father don't know, and none of the residents of Barasana know. So she came to this pond and very, very carefully washed all of the yellow coloring off. But as she was doing it, the entire pond turned yellow. Therefore it is called Piri Pokar, the yellow pokar. Hare Krishna. So that is the story. But I will continue. It wasn't as easy as that. Because the Barasana Walis, they happened to see yellow pond, and they were very intelligent. By their analytical deduction, they understood that Yashoda Mai put the colors on Radharani's hands and she washed them off. That means Krishna is going to marry Sri Radharani. So they went and told Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida Mai. When they heard the news, Krishna is going to be our son-in-law, they became overwhelmed with happiness. They were dancing in jubilation. This was the fulfillment of all of their desires. So they decided that it would be very appropriate for them to send an appropriate gift to express their agreement to the future marriage of Radha and Krishna. So they brought the most beautiful jewels that they had, and set them in nice gold. And with a messenger, he brought them to the house of Nanda and Yashoda and explained that Rishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida are accepting your proposal for Radharani's marriage to Krishna. When Nanda and Yashoda heard this, they became dancing in ecstasy. And soon the whole town of Barsana was dancing and singing, and the whole town of Nandagram were dancing and singing. Everyone was celebrating the marriage of Radha and Krishna. But Yashoda Mai told Nanda Maharaj that they have sent us these beautiful, beautiful jewels. We should send them something at least equal to show our love for them. But we do not have any jewels like this. But many guests came, so they went out to take care of the guests. Meanwhile, little Krishna, small child, he wanted to please his parents. So he took all the jewels and ran outside to where there was a field that was freshly plowed. And he planted the jewels in the field. Then he buried them. Meanwhile, Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj came back from greeting guests and they saw the jewels were gone. So they asked, Krishna, you must be the one that has taken them. We'll give you anything you like, butter, laddus, what do you like, but tell us where the jewels are. He said, I know where the jewels are. I planted them in the ground, just like I have seen Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Baba, I have seen how you plant seeds and they grow into trees or vegetables. So I will grow jewels. And then you will have so many nice jewels to give to Vrishabhanu Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj said, it doesn't work like that. Wheat seeds, vegetable seeds, tree seeds, they grow, but jewels, they don't grow. Krishna said, well, I think they will. So they said, well, show us where you planted them. So he brought them out to the field, and he pointed to the place, and they saw little sprouts coming out of the ground. Right before their eyes, those sprouts became full-grown trees. And within a matter of moments, the trees, that one tree, was filled with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of beautiful jewels. The most beautiful jewels anyone has ever seen. So they harvested all the jewels, and they set them in nice decorations, ornaments. In fact, they filled up an entire ox cart full of jewels and sent them back to Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida, who were very pleased to receive them. So in this way, there was all nice arrangements being made for the marriage of Sri Radha and Krishna. But Yogamaya, who lives in Vrindavan as Purnamasi, she understood that this would not be favorable to Krishna's satisfaction. Because if Radha and Krishna were married, it would make Radharani like one of the queens of Dwarka, or like one of the goddesses of Vaikuntha. But in Vrindavan, the highest pleasure of love is the Madhurya Ras in Parakya Bhava. So in order for Purnamasi to stop this great upheaval to Krishna's future pleasure, she had to think of a very, very effective plan. So she waited. Purnamasi is a Shiksha Guru for all the Vrijavasis. So one day, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai approached her and said that Radha and Krishna will soon be getting married. We want your blessings. So she said, let me check the astrological calculations. And she came back and said, the astrology is not favorable. They're very young. They have plenty of time. If they get married now, it's very inauspicious. So you wait some time, and then we will check the astrology again. Very well. So this is a very special pastime, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he established through the Goswamis and the Acharyas that this Parakiya Ras of Vrindavan is the highest expression of loving reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees. Srila Prabhupada tells us that the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Just like this banyan tree, when the sun is in a certain place in the sky, the reflection of this banyan tree in the water will appear in such a way that the top part of the tree is the bottom part of the reflection, and vice versa. The relationship between man and woman, unmarried, for pleasurable, romantic desires to be fulfilled, is considered to be the most abominable, condemned, and sinful type of activity. But in the spiritual world, when it is the relationship between Radha and Krishna, or Krishna and gopis, it is considered to be the ultimate, highest and purest expression of love. How is that? Because Krishna is the supreme husband of all living beings. Every living being is essentially female, and Krishna is Purusha. Therefore, all the gopis, they are eternally Krishna's consorts. He is the husband of their hearts. He is the husband of their lives. So actually, the Parakiya Ras is just it is not an illegal activity. Their relationship with Krishna is perfectly legal, but this Parakiya concept is superimposed on that just to make the relationships more relishable, exciting, and deeper in the experience between Krishna and gopis. At one time, people were criticizing the Parakiya Bhav of Radha and Krishna. In fact, even today, people become sahajiyas due to a misconception of the sanctity of this spiritual siddha, or this spiritual tattva. Therefore, Jiva Goswami established Radha Krishna in some of his writings as being officially married, or Swakiya Bhav, just so that people will not misunderstand and corrupt the integrity of this purest relationship with their materialistic misconceptions. However, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas, Diwali, it has officially begun in Barasana, as established through Jiva Goswami's own teachings, the proper understanding. So here at Piri Pokar, these truths are so high and so sublime and so beyond our realizations. But at the same time, it gives us a hint into what is the beauty and the glory of the spiritual world. And we should strive and strive throughout our lives to please the Lord in such a way through our hearing, chanting, and our sincere devotional service in our prayers that these things can actually be deeply understood and realized within our hearts. Everybody, please go down and take Achman and three drop bath from Pili Pokhar, and then we will